welcome back to another episode of Music with Map, the podcast where we explore how music intersects with people's professional lives. I'm Wes.
And I'm John.
And today we have an old pal of the Map team on the
Map
show.
Map team, yeah.
Yeah. Jill Harris, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much for being here. So, yeah, we had the fortunate opportunity to have you sing on a track that we were working on for someone. Yeah, that goes back a ways. Mm-hmm. And here we are again, having you here. So, yeah, great to have you. And just to let the folks listening know, maybe you could tell them a little bit about yourself, what it is that sort of constitutes your day-to-day and how music intersects with your life.
Yeah, so I do this full-time. My main gig is performing with Dwayne Gretzky cover band in Toronto. And I also write my own music. I have played in other bands. Like I had an original project called The Au Pairs, a folk group for many years, and an electronic project. And I also do like freelance vocals for a bunch of people.
Right.
And cool. Like you're well established, you're in a million things, and you're a very, very talented vocalist and instrumentalist as well. But maybe let's like reel it back a bit. Like, where did you start? How did you kind of navigate your way into music? Because as we've talked about with so many people on the show, and just like John and I in our own experiences, it's a tough industry. You mm-hmm. know, it's hard to like make a day-to-day living in it. But mm-hmm. here you are, right? Proof that it that it exists. So this is amazing. Mm-hmm. But how did you kind of like navigate your way into that at first?
So I grew up loving music, always being very passionate about it. Came from a pretty musical family also. And by the time I was finishing high school, I'm from Toronto also. And when I was finishing high school, I was kind of like, this is the thing that I'm most interested in life still. So I went to college for music as well. And I think my...
Sorry to interject, for recording or performing or...
For jazz vocals.
Okay. Jazz vocals.
Yeah. Yes. I met a lot of people there that I still am close with, still make music with.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Like my best friend, Lydia, who's also in Dwayne, who also...
And the Au Pairs.
And the Au Pairs, and who performs with one of your former guests,
right.
Rodrigo.
Yes. Yes.
I met her in college.
Right.
And Meg Contini, who also is in that same mix.
All of the above. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So I think because of connections and luck and hard work, but I think a lot of the time it's just like, luck and I don't know,
and your talent, like don't I mean, you know, not to sell yourself short like, there, you know,
I mean, I yeah, well sure, but but I think that
I'll say that one for you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, John. For all these reasons, I think they have allowed me to still be doing music now.
Right.
When I first graduated college, it was like I wasn't so sure it was going to be a thing, like
right,
like a lot of people, I was broke and I was trying to find work, worked at a cafe for years and taught like beginner piano and voice.
Right.
For a few years. And then I actually think that like my biggest opportunity was when I started singing with Dwayne Gretzky.
Right.
And that was actually like sort of fluky. Someone that I went to elementary school with that I'm still friends with today, her first cousin is Tyler, who runs
right.
the band. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I knew him as a child.
Oh. That's wild. No
yeah.
way.
And so, and we, I actually like sang with him at his grandfather's funeral when I was like 9 years old.
Oh my gosh, wow.
So obviously many years later, I reached out to him when I finished school and I said, it was kind of like a bold sort of like, hey, I'm a singer now.
Right.
If you ever need someone.
Yeah.
And so I sent him links to some stuff I had made. And,
okay.
And then in 2014, he was like, yeah, we need like an extra singer on this gig. And that
right.
was kind of the beginning of it. And I do pride myself on being a hard worker and a lover of creating harmonies and
yeah.
and have a good ear and stuff. So I think because of those things, it's like, I think that's why people want me to like be in their project sometimes or hire me for stuff, just because mm-hmm. that's probably where my biggest skills lie.
Right. And so, then the more that you've done it, you've kind of just carved out that niche for yourself. So it's just like, yeah, people are like, oh, I recognize those vocals. I want to have them on my own project kind of thing.
Yeah, it's funny to think of it like that because I don't even necessarily think sometimes that I have like this voice that's super definable, but I think that I can help. I don't know.
Absolutely. No, like, well, what when you were just saying that, the thing that came to mind is like the idea of texture. So like music in various forms, various genres, it's textured in a certain way. And like the vocal presence, whether it's a lead vocal or a backing vocal that you provide, is such a lovely texture that it makes sense to me. It's sort of me attempting to sort of say the same thing that you're saying in another way is like, again, so it is just such... it's just like such a beautiful part of like the music that you played. And again, like even from the song that you worked on with us from many moons ago, what were you doing? If not, I think it was just 3-part harmony basically through most of the song. Yeah. And some backing vocals and stuff like that. So it's just like, but it's very interesting to hear you say the sort of the connection and how far back it goes to Tyler. That's actually pretty wild.
I know. And that's where I'm sort of like, I feel like, where did I hear this? This is probably wrong, but it's like success is where luck meets opportunity or something.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess I don't want to downplay the hard work I've put into it, but I'm also like that funny connection that I had with this person that has now led, like it's interesting to think back to where things begin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But luck is also like you put yourself in a position to be lucky, right? Because of that there hard that. Work and the time spent and all of these things. So that when you're in the moment of like, hey, you want to like jump and try this out real quick? You can just nail it and perform like you know you can and that you put the time in to do that.
Yeah, right? That's where the hard work comes in. It's like you may have sort of had this fortuitous opportunity, although you did reach out to Tyler. Yeah. But like, you know, you knew each other from before. Tyler had the Dwayne thing, like, I don't know how much sooner he had started Dwayne before you actually, like, joined up, because it's been going for a while now. I think the hard work comes in the fact that you've sustained this. If it weren't for hard work and, like, dedication and you continuing to, like, perfect your craft and vocals, people would stop calling.
Right.
You know, like, that's where the hard work comes in. So it's definitely a mix of both. But I can understand how you're saying where it's, like, sort of a mix of these amazing opportunities has led you to this situation. And I do appreciate how even off the top you said, so I do this full time, because that's worth noting, because so many musicians, you know, that's just not really the reality. Or if someone has that desire and they do it full time, it may not be as well received as something like Dwayne Gretzky. Like Dwayne Gretzky is so phenomenal because it's like everyone who plays in that group is so very talented. So there's that side of it. But then also, like, what you're doing is so well received by people, it also allows it to continue to grow and develop, and people come out continuously to see these shows and stuff like that. So that's also, like, a beautiful thing. And like, again, I don't know if it's luck or opportunity or what, plus the hard work, but it's just, like, it's working. And so that's phenomenal that you have that. You
but
know?
Also, like, for those that don't know, like, Dwayne Gretzky is a relatively well-known band in the city, perform all the time. And if you're from Toronto, you've probably heard of, if not have seen Dwayne Gretzky, you know, in one way or another.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So like full time, like this is always curious because every musician and somebody in the like music industry is different. So what does like full time look like for you? Like during a week, like what's an average week? Like how much time do you spend writing? How much time do you spend performing? How much time are you like in the practice studio?
Yeah. So it really changes. That is a thing about this lifestyle, is that I think you kind of have to be the type of person that's kind of okay with like not really planning ahead in life.
Right.
And you're sort of like okay with a bit of chaos and instability.
Who knows where I'll be 6 months from now, truly. Let alone two months, right?
Like
I
actually like just have received information about like what the rest of my year will look like, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
You have a bit of like planning.
Yeah, but it's really difficult to see past that sometimes, which I'm kind of okay with because it's been that way for many years.
Right.
But like this last week, for example, was really busy. Like we were doing this 90s tour right now.
Okay, yeah.
So we did 6 shows in 8 days, and we just finished on Friday. Right. So that was a lot, and that's not that common.
Right.
Last year was the most we have ever played, but I think it was because we didn't play in the pandemic, barely at all. We did a couple of live streams. I mean, I should say in the heart of the pandemic, at the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
But last year, I think it was, there were like 2 years of gigs combined. So then we were just saying yes to so much because we could. And then I think a lot of us felt quite tired at the end of the year.
Of course.
It's exhausting. Yeah, it is. And it's like so hard, I think, to quantify how much time I put into it in like a week, because it also feels so different. It's like my time performing will be like 3 hours.
Yeah.
But if it's an away gig, I'm gone for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not even just the performance part. It's like you see your colleagues essentially constantly. I've seen my bandmates more than I've seen anyone in my life.
Right.
And there are so many things that come with that too, like the interpersonal nature of that, and like when people are struggling and like making it through together and still having chemistry on stage. So there are so many things to think about. I would say that intersects with like probably some of the things that you have both dealt with. Like I think about social work and like therapy and all the things that we talk about in the band because we have to, because it's like, it's, I don't know, also musicians are so emotional.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, you want to like bring the emotion to the stage, but then when the show's done, the emotion's still there when you're in the green room and like...
Exactly.
And then, you know, a one-off is different than, as you said, if it's like an entire year that's making up for, you know, 2 years of drought where all of a sudden it's just like full on. Every aspect of that would just be full on. So it totally makes sense. And it's like, you know, whether it's social work or something else, I think of a boss that I had when I worked at a golf course as a kid, and he's having a tough day, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, you doing okay? And he's just like, you know what? Growing grass, or like managing grass is easy because it grows and you just cut it. But managing people is the hardest thing that you'll ever have to do. And he just was like, you know, one after another, like was just being dealt this, like this, these different blows from these different personalities. And it was just like making his head spin. And that's something that I've always kind of thought about, because, and I feel like that's essentially what you're saying, where it's just like the work of you, you know, practicing your vocals and making sure you, I don't know, sleep well and just like eat properly. Those are things you do for yourself. But it's like in reality, like being in a band and the heavy lifting that comes with it is the travel and the time spent with people. And it's just such a drop in the bucket, the actual performance itself.
Absolutely. And so much leads to the performance. Like there was so much for this run of shows. There was so much practicing that went into it.
Right.
Which is on your own. It's also practicing in the group. But yeah, it's all of that other stuff. It is like the sleeping, all those things contribute to that. And then also because it's such a weird schedule, like you don't align always with other people's lifestyles, so you miss things with family and you
of course it
comes with those challenges. I was actually just thinking about, I don't know, did you see that documentary, the Metallica documentary called Some Kind of Monster? It's so unhinged, but there are elements of it that are like it's like this funny thing where it's like they've known each other for so long, they really desperately need therapy, and then they have their therapist come in with them while they record this album, and it's like so wild. But you also understand, you're like, yeah, it's so weird. What a weird life.
Yeah, that's, and like, you know, that's an interesting documentary because it does really kind of, you know, open the curtain behind the scenes a little bit in terms of the dynamic of a group. And so I can fully understand how you're saying, especially like the longevity of Metallica is like longer than with Dwayne, but especially if you're talking about these things happening in such a like densely packed amount of time, it's just like, you've got so many years of just that under your belt. Like, yeah, it only makes sense. And again, it's just those personalities that come through. And
well, that's also so fascinating too, because for example, with what we do, like music is an alternate form of self-expression for people that they're just beginning to unlock and realize and see. And so like, especially a lot of times when folks that we work with are in various positions, like it's great to find a new outlet and to find a new communication stream, whatever. But for musicians who do it every day, all day with the same people, and then like still trying to write stuff and still trying to do new versions of other songs and all these different things. Like, do you find yourself, now that you've been in it for a number of years, being able to find like a healthy rhythm of just even your own life? Like you go out on tour and find some healthy balance within all that? Or is it still just so random that you're still kind of like, you know, almost like jazz hands kind of going with it as it hits, right?
Yeah, I do think it's always changing. I think that there are times when I feel more stable with it. Mm-hmm. I actually think, like, funnily enough, Dwayne Gretzky is the stable part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think that I do also work on my own music, mm-hmm. but I don't know if you've spoken with other musicians or if you yourselves have experienced this of just like, it's so vulnerable to put your own art into the world. And that's something I still struggle with.
Yeah.
So that's like an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And same with like going on the road. I did my first like bus tour in the fall with Broken Social Scene.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. And that was like a completely different, I'm going to be going on doing the same thing again this fall.
Okay. Amazing. Cool. Congrats.
Thank you. So that's, it's really exciting. And I loved it so much. And it was also challenging. I'd never tried to sleep on a bus before. And it was not successful for me. but now I know that. Mm-hmm. So I have the ability to go into it with a different state of mind.
Right. And hence why Dwayne, by comparison, which is something you've done for such a long time, feels so much more consistent or stable and known.
Yes.
So that's like in the end, I guess, like almost easier by comparison, it sounds like you're
for
saying.
For sure. Yeah. And also like Dwayne is like it's a band and a business. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know how much people think of it like that. We think of it like that because it has become a lot of our job. So we have, you know, we have a calendar where we can see everything that's coming up mm-hmm. for the year so far. And it's really organized and there's like a structure, which I think doesn't exist in like original projects in the same way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, we got a grant. Now we can go on the road, but we all have to share a bed and like all this stuff. So.
And kind of like the planning is more on the fly.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Versus like a well-oiled machine, kind of more like Dwayne is, where it's just like, no, here's like what most of the year is going to look like.
Totally.
And yeah.
Well, as a quick caveat too, like for those that aren't aware, live music is sort of the last bastion of how to make a living in music, right? Like unless you have a great publicist and you're able to get into TV shows and movies and things, but like nobody's selling records anymore, things like that. So you have to play live.
You do. Mm-hmm. And even then it is part of the like, a lot of them, I mean, at least for certain artists, Dwayne is a little bit different, but for a lot of original artists, they're going on the road because they make like a certain amount from their ticket sales, but they make a lot of their money through mm-hmm. their merchandise.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is still this like artist as a commodity, mm-hmm. like funny sort of thing that people struggle with. But I would say that you're right, that it's like the live music is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. Unless, as you say, like I know some people that are just fully in production.
Right.
And they're able to make enough off of royalties because they're just like churning out songs. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
mm-hmm. I'm not really in that world. Though there is a song that came out that I was a part of in 2014 and I still get a little check from that
right.
every so often.
Right. That's cool. But yeah, for you... Well, and again, like sort of why it's noteworthy for you to say off the top is just like you're someone where for you working in the music industry means actually being able to play. And like that is your, because I mean, the way that it looks, especially for us when we talk with younger kids who are like, oh, I just wish I could do this for a living, you know, like playing music. And we're like, it kind of, you gotta figure it out. Like there's so many different hats that you can wear. So like, again, for what we do, we meet with folks who like don't necessarily have an opportunity. We try to help them write their own songs, or someone who like maybe sits in there or like, you know, works at home or in a studio or something and just does like music for commercials or for film or whatever. And like, that's their bread and butter. There's someone like yourself who's just like performing quite regularly. And that's like the staple of what you do. So it is pretty wild, just like all the different things.
And that's the, like, that's the whole industry, whether you're a performer or songwriter or somebody more behind the scenes. Like even when I was younger, kind of doing more sound stuff, like I would be in studio during the day, then I would go do a show at like do sound for a show at night, and then work on side projects at all hours of the day. Like it just kind of never stops, but just wearing those multiple hats.
Yeah.
And Jill, as like you've so eloquently stated, it's just finding that like schedule where you don't lose your mind completely while being able to still like enjoy, because it's like you're making music. It's the best. Like,
yeah,
you
know? Absolutely. And that, and I never want to take away from that either, because I think as much as it's, you know, me and my like musician friends talk about the struggle of being in the music industry constantly,
right.
But also the gratitude we have for it and, mm-hmm. and the ability to like create music. Like I still, yeah. whether I release it or not, I still am at home writing my songs mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. stuff.
Right.
And, you know, and working with other people, which I like so much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is cool. And the collaborative part is always like a cool thing. So, this is a great segue, because I meant to ask you, like, so when you're not, you know, slinging it from a, like at a Dwayne practice or like mm-hmm. a Dwayne show or like a whole series of Dwayne shows or whatever else, like, are you comfortably able to like in your own time still work on music? Like, is it, do you feel refreshed enough to kind of be able to do that? Do you need to take a pause from it for a while? Like, what does that look like? Like, what is the downtime like when you're not doing, like Dwayne or whatever else, like on the road?
Yeah. I think that it's kind of in fits and starts. Is that the saying? Mm-hmm. Where I'll feel more inspired or more, I have more energy to do it. Cause I think there are some times where I'm like, oh, I feel so exhausted from the music life that I'm going to just shut that mm-hmm. part of me off.
Yeah.
But, I do devote some time to it. And there's a consistent thing that I do, which I started doing years ago, called Songvember, where every day for the month of November, I write a song.
Wow.
Or at least what it has now turned into is a minute of a song or like a verse mm-hmm. and a chorus, just basically an idea every day.
Interesting.
Because it makes me feel creative mm-hmm. and gets me back in touch with that side of myself if I've let it go for a while. Right. And it's funny because it's like, well, it's 1 month of the year, but it gives me ideas to work on for like a while.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm so devoted to the practice that I'm like, it's helpful for me.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. I mean, no matter what, I think like having, whether it's like, you know, playing music or working out or something like that, like having a structured kind of approach definitely is helpful for the continual creation of something. But yeah, I was just curious to know, like you were kind of alluding to, you know, that you do still have a little bit of that sort of creative fire spark is still within you, even if you have been playing. And I guess maybe a distinction to be made as well is like with Dwayne, you're performing, you're doing a great job, you're putting your fingerprint on it, but these are cover songs.
Yeah.
Is it the performing of cover songs that kind of still gives you that like extra fire to work on your own like original stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think I was actually just talking to my friend about this, because I think people look at it kind of differently. Like some people struggle with performing covers all the time because they're like, it makes me feel like I'm trying to meet this expectation of being the artist and I'll never be that.
Right. Yep.
For me, it feels so different. It actually feels like less anxiety inducing because it's not my own stuff. It feels like right. slightly detached, but it feels like I can still connect to the songs.
Yeah.
And I personally just love performing. Right. So it gives me right. like, it more so scratches that itch for me.
Right. It's like the fun on stage without yes, the vulnerability of exactly. performing your own stuff. Right. Yeah.
And it's like, to your credit, like Dwayne Gretzky performs a wide range of cover, like of different mm-hmm. songs. Like there's
for sure.
a massive catalog there.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And actually these shows that we are doing right now are like my favorite of the bunch, because I get to do Alanis and Cranberries oh, and yeah, like right. these sort of big, like the emotional. The 90s.
Big shiny yeah, 90s, right?
Yeah. yeah.
And is this, just to flip back a page, was that what started it off for you with Dwayne when Tyler was like, oh, we need an extra vocalist or something like that? Like, were they doing a big shiny thing at that point or?
Yeah, that was in one of my first shows with them.
Right.
Actually, my first show ever with them was when they used to do this residency at the Horseshoe. And it was every Friday in February and they did it for years. Our last one was February 2020, in fact.
Wow. Because that's like right on the doorstep
Yes, of the pandemic. It was our last, like it was the last show for everyone basically.
Yeah.
But that was like diving into something that I hadn't really experienced before. Like I went to college for music, which was like, you had to learn a lot of music, but mm-hmm. This was like, we had to learn 30 new songs a week and like, and memorize them.
Yeah.
And so that was, And I like that challenge. Mm. So for me, it was kind of like, oh, this is hard and fun and cool. So
that's so much material.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I wow. know. It's like, I think that there's a shared skill in the band of like good short-term memory.
Right.
Because literally, like, we were talking about, we had to learn all these new songs for these shows that we're doing right now, but we also had to learn so many new songs for New Year's Eve a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And we were talking in rehearsal, like, does anyone remember any of those songs?
Right.
Because, like, yeah. I don't know if I would be able to sing them like I did.
Right, then. Right. It's just kind of like cramming before an exam or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You just take, like, in a short amount of time, you just slam that information into your brain. And then when the shows are done, I guess, like, just every part of you just totally. Has a release and you're like, see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, to go back to your earlier question, it just feels different. It feels like completely different from like making my own music.
Right.
But I would say it just like, it's a different thing that I love in music. And then it allows me to have my writing as more of like a hobby.
Yeah.
Like
for the sake of doing it.
Yes.
Music for the sake of creating music.
For sure. And I used to, honestly, up until I had more downtime in the pandemic, or in 2020 at least, where I started sort of being like, because I think I used to put a lot of pressure on myself, as a lot of original artists do, of like, I have to become successful with my original stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like the goal. And I started feeling more at peace with just doing that for myself.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point I'll share it if I really want to. But right. I just sort of started taking the pressure off, because I was like, for who and
yeah.
why?
Yeah. And absolutely. And that's a beautiful thing, to just really arrive at like the core essence of sort of really why anyone produces any art, is it's like, it is in relation to yourself and your emotion, and you have this craft to express yourself, and so you use it, and it's just like, that's the medium, one of the mediums that you can express yourself, and that in and of itself can be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, you know, maybe reading between the lines, with the stability and being able to check a really big box of performance with Dwayne, I would imagine it even more so allows you to kind of just be like, no, this is just like, I'm not worrying about, you know, having t-shirts for my upcoming
yes.
show so that I can monetize a bit of this, right? It's just like, no, I'm going to just perform my original material, be vulnerable, accept that, and that's what it is.
Exactly.
Right.
I think that is definitely it for me. There is a part of me that does want to get past the feeling of like not being able to share things, because
right.
I think that would be, I don't know, even if it's, I was talking about this with two of my friends I was just with that are also both musicians that write music. And one of my friends emailed us and said, like, you know, this person isn't on a label, any of these things. And they were just like, hey, I finished a song and I want to share it with people I trust.
Mm,
and
that's cool.
Yeah. Just wanted some, not even feedback, because the song mm-hmm. was done. Just like, I want to hear your words. Even just mm-hmm. like, I want you to share love with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just, let's support each other in this community,
mm-hmm.
and that's our record label or whatever.
Yeah, that's so cool, because
right.
that's like cool. almost in itself the release of that energy that goes into creating
exactly.
that thing, which is like so important and just so intricate in its own various ways. And then being able to share it is just kind of like that, like
mm-hmm.
yeah.
know?
And even, you know, we make art for ourselves, but also your art can have an impact on someone else
yeah.
if they feel that. That's why I want to get past that. Same with, I mean, we're on the podcast right now, and mm-hmm. it's like, you never know how far reaching the things you're creating are going to be, but
yeah.
maybe a person will listen, or a few people, and they'll be like, oh, I'm really interested in what they were talking about. So,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and there's a reason to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would like to get to that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it sounds like it's like what you just mentioned with sort of that idea of like sharing within your own community. It's kind of what's cool about it is it's like you sort of define it for yourself, right? It's just like maybe there's like a rule book of how people, a quote unquote rule book of how people generally, you know, record and release their own like original music. But in a way, you're kind of doing it for yourself. And it sounds also like you're kind of doing it in a way that feels right. That's up to you. That's not dictated by anyone or anything else, you know?
And
yeah.
and I think too, like that process that you're describing too is so genuine in mm-hmm. that creative like endeavor in itself. Whereas if you go into something saying, oh, I need to pay rent next month, like I need to have something yeah. down and I need to release it and it needs to like fill all of these sort of financial responsibilities that I have, mm-hmm. like that's a totally different ball game than if you're like,
sure.
this is just something I'm putting like my creative and emotional energy mm-hmm. into.
Or even if it's like, even not in it from a monetary perspective, but even if you kind of give yourself that preconceived expectation, like I need to be able to create something that I know mm-hmm. will resonate mm-hmm. with other people.
True.
I need to make sure it sort of has a particular depth to it so that someone listening to it will feel the same way. That even that is an additional pressure that you kind of put on yourself in the creative process, which it's just, again, really nice to be able to like free yourself from all mm-hmm. that and just absolutely. Like let it go. And I think it's always there for you too whenever you decide to do course, that stuff yeah. too, like
exactly.
at your own time. Yeah,
I think that like if you make things trying to appeal to like the widest audience you can, then it's going to be less authentic usually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Because I don't know, there's a reason why pop music exists. There's a reason why there's this just like general mm-hmm. style that's on the radio, and no shame to that mm-hmm. at all. But
That's how some people in the music industry do their thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right.
And it's some of their passions too. It's like yeah. they want to write music like that. But I also have seen peers veer away from the art they used to make because they're thinking about like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
what's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Like I gotta pay my rent.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Exactly.
How do I best tap into this machine so that I can like, yeah, make money from it and then be able to pay rent or whatever else. But